The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
It's almost 20 years since the financial crash, where the country fell into a disastrous recession for the first time since the 1980s. If you cast your mind back 20 years, June of 2006, Ireland looked like one of the strongest economies in Europe until it all fell off a cliff. So we're asking today if we've learned from it, or are we at risk of repeating the mistakes of the past? I'm joined in the studio by the former Taoiseach Joan Burton, and Dan O'Brien is on the line, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs and columnist with The Currency. And you're both very welcome. Joan, I'm going to start with you because I was looking back on what you were saying in 2006. You were talking then about the credit bubble, about the lack of regulation, about the dependence on income for the state from property transactions. And everybody was saying to you, well, would you not let us get on with it and enjoy the good time that we're having? Turns out you were correct on all fronts.
It was one of those times when one didn't want to be right. I'd have preferred to have been wrong, but unfortunately, the state just got itself into a complete mess. I think the banks got carried away completely. And, you know, when we look back now, we've got out of it thanks to the sacrifice of everybody. And I think we should just make sure to just keep a little note in our heads that these things can happen in the financial markets. Mm-hmm.
We've got out of it, you say. Dan, you say that we have scars that remain and that are still costing people a lot of money.
Well, we do. Good morning, Claire, and good morning, Joe. one of the legacies of it was that we had such a big budgetary crisis, such a hole in our budget that every tax had to go up and nearly everything we spent, the government spent, had to be cut. So we had years of significant austerity then. But I think it's really strange that the emergency increases in taxes that took place, personal taxes that took place 18 years ago, are still in place for a crisis that is long ago gone. So it's really, you know, the legacy effect is that governments have just left those personal tax rates. By some estimates, one of the worst tax systems, personal tax systems in the developed world, are still there. So that's a really long-lasting legacy.
But Dan, I know you're also worried about our reliance on corporation tax, you know, for day-to-day spending. So is there a risk that if those taxes that you talk about are cut, that the reliance on corporation tax will actually increase?
Well, my fear is that if the corporation taxes fall, that the government is going to come back and take even more personal taxes. That's the risk if things go wrong. But where there's a real parallel between the mistakes of pre-2008 and right now is that the government became extremely reliant on a volatile source of tax. Back then, it was related to property transactions. Now it's related to the taxes paid by big multinational companies, just a handful of them. Now, if Donald Trump were to demand that the American pharmaceutical industry return to the United States, now, I think that's unlikely and it'd be very difficult, but stranger things have happened, that we would lose out on a lot of the corporation tax that the government has become very dependent on. It hasn't treated those taxes like a windfall and saved them, say, like Norway does with its big energy industry. So we've become, for day-to-day expenditure, become dependent on a very volatile source of income, just as we did back pre-2008.
Yeah, you could argue, Joan, that it's a bit of a mirror image. It's just the money's coming from a different place.
Yeah, I think what Dan is doing is very much public service, that he's saying to people, hold on, we're doing well, but it's not perfect and things can happen. And I think it's the things can happen, which happened before, and they can happen very quickly. So I do think it's appropriate to say, look, when we're doing all the reviews for the annual budgets and so on, and everything has gone over with a fine tooth comb, but we need to look at where are the dangers and prepare to ward off those dangers should they arrive. Hopefully they won't, but it's quite possible because, you know, the financial markets turn over, they change, and we have to deal with that. We have the multinationals here. They've been very, very successful. But, you know, we need to keep looking and seeing how do we do whatever we're doing at the moment. How do we do that better? How do we do it with more security? The other thing, of course, is that we've big, big challenges in relation to young people, many of whom are now beginning to emigrate again. And I think that that's something that we need to be careful about.
Because of housing, of course.
It's all about housing, because the cost of housing now has basically gone through the roof, particularly if you were going after any kind of expensive house. And that's very, very difficult for young people. So quite a lot of young people, they're going to go abroad anyway because they want to travel and so on. That's fine. But we do want most of them to come back. And I think that's something that the government is not paying enough attention to. And the core of that is, how am I going to get a house if I'm going to settle down and have a family?
Can I come back to housing in a moment? Because I just want to return to resilience on one income source. So looking back to 2006, as we've said, it was property. Now you could argue it is corporation tax. But is the country not in a much more resilient place now, Joan? I mean, we have all of our funds in place.
We've learned a lot of lessons, and we have a lot of checks and balances in the system, and that's absolutely critically important. But it also is important that we pay attention to those checks and balances, that we don't just say now everything's fine now and the rainy day will never happen. You just don't know in terms of world economics.
Mm-hmm. So, Dan, when it comes to housing, that is the big problem that we have now, as Joan has said there. How much of a hold do you think it has on Ireland's progress from this point on?
Yeah, it is a major issue. I'd caution against sort of a view that we're exceptional. You know, a lot of young people are going to Australia now. They don't have cheap houses in Australia. Canada, same thing. I was in Canada a couple of years ago, and the debate around housing was exactly the same as it is here in terms of high rents and high costs and lack of availability. So, you know, it's not just our problem. It's most of the sort of countries that young Irish people want to go to have exactly the same problems. That's sort of a longer story. But can I just be a bit positive in terms of the lessons learned? I think Irish people, I'm not sure the government has learned to be prudent with their finances, but Irish people have become much more prudent. So the amount of debt Irish households have now is half of what it was relative to disposable income. So Irish households have learned very well the dangers of getting too much into debt. In 20 years on, that lesson is still learned, and people are much more prudent. And that's a really positive thing, because if something goes wrong in the world, and as Joan is absolutely right, like there are so many risks out there in the global economy now that could affect us negatively. If something goes wrong, at least people aren't in debt. And that household balance sheets, as we call them in the economics profession, are much, much stronger than they were 20 years ago.
Is there a negative to that at all? You know, if you have a population that has been through something like 2008, Dan, and, you know, we were talking about saving earlier and people putting their money into bank accounts where they're not earning very much interest, have we become too cautious?
You could certainly argue that the banks, and let's be clear, it was the banks who were to blame. They were the main people to blame for what happened then. The government was to blame in the sense that it didn't look after the public finance and didn't prepare for these kind of risks we're talking about. But the main cause of the crash,
Dan, there were a lot of people in government who were just shocked because they didn't know much about finance. Traditionally, we've had a lot of politicians in Ireland not necessarily involved in finance and as a political item. They've tended to concentrate on spending the money as opposed to how to, you know, get the money and keep it and then use it properly. I think that's where we possibly just need to get sharper.
I totally agree. And just to finish the point about the banks, went crazy before the crash. And now, if anything, to your point, Claire, they're probably too conservative in the sense that they're very old fashioned and they were so scarred by it. If anything, they don't lend enough to both people who are buying houses and to businesses. That's arguably a case to be made.
Do you agree with that, Joan?
I do. I think, for instance, a lot of young people are interested in either having their own business or having a service or something like that. You know, if they're offering some sort of service, say as a lawyer or as an accountant or whatever. You know, I do think that they need support, and we probably actually need to be clearer about who can get what from a bank, so that if somebody doesn't have any previous business experience, but they're going into business now, that there's somebody that they can talk to, have a good conversation with, and find out what is it they would be able to get, and then what is it that they can pay back. I think we just need to be very honest about it. I think at the time of the last crash, there was really a lot of la-la land where people thought everything must be okay. It just can't go down. It can.
Well, there was
does.
Enormous trust placed in the banks. You know, if the bank wants
to give me a
100% mortgage, or in some cases 120%, well, that must be okay for them and for me. And it wasn't.
Well, your bank manager always seemed to wear a lovely navy blue suit of some kind and look great, and the inside of the banks all looked great. But, you know, once the trouble broke out, there weren't that many people there who were in a position to actually salvage the thing, and that's really what happened.
And do you think that Irish households have really learned a lesson when it comes to debt and saving?
Oh, I think there's a large memory in Ireland of what happened, and people don't want to see that happening again. You know, again, you're talking about younger people now. They're going to want to do things and take risks. And, you know, it's okay for people to take some risks, but they need to be aware that the cost of money can be very high. And if you want to borrow money, you need to have a pathway to repaying it, because one day the banks will call and you have to repay.
Owen is 31 from near Carlow, and he's been in touch with us to say we need to bring back manufacturing. It's very easy to see that the high corporation tax paying companies have propped us up, but the loss of manufacturing is slowly killing us. The high corporation tax paying companies have drawn people away from rural Ireland, and although they pay good wages, it pushes up the cost for everyone and everything as a result. And he's talking about the loss of the Irish sugar industry and the fact that we're importing everything in that regard now. Is that something that we've neglected, Dan, you know, because we have this very comfortable place that we're in now with this big high tax paying companies from outside of here looking for very qualified staff? And so perhaps we have neglected our manufacturing base.
Well, your caller makes a lot of interesting points, and I think there'll be a big debate around that. There is a slight change in the economics profession around the dependence on foreign direct investment. We know it's been a massive benefit to the Irish economy, the tech and the pharma sectors. It was like strapping two jet engines onto an old plane. And they have really, they got us out of the crisis, and they've been the source of all of this tax revenue. So it's been very positive. But are we over-dependent, and are they sucking up resources and employing people that would otherwise go into indigenous homegrown businesses? There is a case for that now. I think we may have become too dependent. But in some ways, that's a good problem to have. But I think it would be better if our economy is more balanced between the foreign companies and homegrown businesses.
Yeah, because if we look back at 2006, Joan, we had all of our workers concentrated in construction and in housing at the time. Output had gone up by over 50% between 2001 and 2005. You could argue that it sort of looks the same, you know, there's a different name on the industry.
I think the kind of, if you like, the warning thing is that we've had the warning and we've experienced the crash. And I would imagine that almost anybody involved in business is conscious that what looks fantastic can change. And you just have to be ready for that, and also to be careful about how you spend money. And that's a rule in business. So you just have to do that, just as you have to, you know, a family has to do it in their ordinary life, try and guard the money so that they have it for the things that really matter, but then they can have a good time as well from time to time. You know, I don't want to sound like a total accountant.
And is the government currently doing that?
I think they could talk to people more, and they could get people more involved in what are their own financial plans. Have they a way of saving? Do they want to do up their house, for instance? Do they have to save for that? You know, there's a whole lot of things where information could be available to people, and, you know, the local bank and credit unions and so on. We now have, I think, much stronger financial institutions, whereas, you know, when the crash came, it turned out that, you know, the emperor had no clothes.
But on the state level, I mean, Dan referred to the nightmare scenario of Donald Trump pulling pharma back to the United States. Well, let's say that happens. Would we be back in 2008?
First of all, I'm not sure if Donald Trump has the power to do that. He's obviously very close to a lot of the very big tech people. He is the president of the United States. He's very important to them. I think we just have to, you know, I mean, the Americans aren't stupid. If they want to have markets in Europe and so on, they have to have a presence here as well. They can't just say, like, we'll send our stuff over, you send your money back, and mm-hmm. and that's the end of it. And it suits them very well to have ancillary or secondary companies in Ireland, in other European countries. And it's good for transatlantic trade as well on both sides.
Do you get a chill talking about the crash?
Yeah, because I think a huge number of people suffered terribly. I think so, a lot of the women who are at home with children who had just got into a new house, you know, the big issue, certainly in my own constituency in Dublin West, where there was a huge amount of new housing, lovely housing, and people were just terrified that if anything happened in terms of jobs, they wouldn't be able to pay.
And people got trapped in very small, you know, apartments that they bought thinking it would be the starter house, and then they ended up there with two children.
And then they were never able to move on. You know, they weren't in a handy position to sell the apartment and then move into, say, a three-bed or a four-bed mm-hmm. house, which is generally what people, when they've children, it's generally what they want because right. they need it. And also, where are the schools? They're near the houses.
Listen, it's good to see you, Joan. Thank you for coming in. Joan Burton there, former leader of the Labour Party, and Dan O'Brien, who was with us as well, taking us back to 2006 and ultimately 2008. Whether we wanted to go there or not, as I say, sometimes we feel a chill, don't we, when we look back on those days, and hopefully we won't see the like again.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.